So we are continuing in Hebrews chapter 12, just looking at a few verses today. I thought we'd start with reading you a short excerpt from a much better sermon, Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." If you'd turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Actually, looking at 14 through 17, the way this Bible divides it, the new paragraph starts at 12. So let me read from 12 to 17. "Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears." Amen. So last week we looked at the concept of discipline, and that the Lord disciplines those he loves. Every child of God receives some sort of fatherly discipline. And I tried to make the point, I hope I did, that it's not just negative, that In this context, he's talking about struggles and encouraging them through the struggles to say that God is shaping you and forming you in something. He's up to good things even through the difficulties of life. It's a stern fatherly discipline. But I was making the point that that's not the only kind of discipline, and by God's grace, it's not the most common. But there is the positive discipline, where he calls us to read his word. As we looked at Proverbs today, "My son, remember these words and grow in wisdom and insight, and your ways will be smoother." So God teaches us and encourages us to read and to pray and to fellowship and to encourage, and all of those things are aspects of the discipline of the Lord also. But so then you have the question, then if he's sort of pushing us in a direction, if he's shaping us in significant ways, what's that going to look like? What's the goal of all of that? And so I think we have the answer in the three commands that we find here in these few verses. So that's what I want to look at today. It's difficult to fulfill the commands because of indwelling sin and because of external sin, but it calls us to work on those things. Team, by the way, is I know someone will ask if I don't mention it, so let me mention it quickly. It's a song by Lord, so it's kind of an odd song. But if you know Lord, you know that it would be an odd song. But the things that struck me about it particularly are, and you know we're on each other's team, which I'll get to in a few minutes. That's sort of the relevant part. Although I think the image of one line of that song, we're living in the ruins of a palace of my dreams. I think that kind of, I think of that in a Christian way. God has set eternity in our hearts. We have a longing for things to be right and good and beautiful, and we live in the midst of ugliness and brokenness. I think so. We're living in the ruins of the palace that God has put in our dreams. But how if we see it, how do we work toward it? Well, here's some instructions, three of them. First of all, he says, pursue peace with everyone. Pursue peace with everyone. Now, let me tell you how we usually translate that. You know, when it's translated into our own thinking, we say, so basically it means be a nice person, right? Peaceable. I'm not a troublemaker. I'm not causing any trouble. I'm not giving anyone any trouble. I'm just a nice guy, you know, or a nice woman, nice person. And we think that that's it. That's not it. So then you think, all right, well, if that's not it, so then you must mean that I must be willing to make peace with everyone. You know, it says pursue peace with everyone. You say, all right, yeah, I get that. I can do that. I you know, whenever God works in the hearts of these people who have wronged me, and they come to me with tears in their eyes and apologize and beg my forgiveness, I will grant it. I am a peaceable person. That's closer. But, you know, as the expression says, close but no cigar. That's closer, but that's not it. Because it says pursue peace with everyone. And pursue basically is the same word as persecute. It means go after it. Track it down and lay hold of it. It doesn't mean that you can just wait for people to come to you and you're willing to make peace. Or you're just the kind of person that why would anyone have a problem with anyway? You're peaceable. But it says pursue peace. Go after it. Track it down. Give it no rest. It's true in all of the scriptures. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Right? Blessed are the peacemakers. So it's there in the Sermon on the Mount, which is one of the reasons I read the Sermon on the Mount. For they'll be called sons of God or children of God. It means that there's a quality in God that people should see in us. And what did God do as we're alienated from him, as we're hostile to him? He sends his son to make a way back and to call us back and to make peace. So he sends the Prince of Peace to announce peace, proclaim peace, and make peace. And so if we are people who follow Christ, the Prince of Peace, we should be people who seek out peace also. Where there's conflict, we don't wait for someone to be convicted of the error of their ways and come to us. We go after them and say, let's work this out. Let's make this right. Let's figure it out. Let's pray together about it. Let's find a way. Now, the scriptures are relentlessly realistic. I hope you know that. So when we go to Romans, you know, Paul talks about making peace. He said, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. There are some people you just can't be peaceful with, and Paul recognized that. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, recognizes that. But it's not for lack of trying on your part. All right, you don't just excuse and say, well, you know, that guy, nobody gets along with him, least of all me. No, it's not because you're not trying, but some people will not have it, just will not make peace. And so it is a possibility. But it's a possibility that you've tried. You've been out there. You're working on it. Pursue peace. It says with all people. You know, that's a bad part of that, isn't it? And say pursue peace with the people who are peaceable. You know, pursue peace with the people who are good people, nice people. It says pursue peace with everyone. I'll try to, in the Romans, so far as it depends on you, and we want to do the things that make for peace. And so we're looking for it. We're actively seeking peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. God didn't leave us in our sin, but came after us. We don't leave someone in their conflicts, but we go after them and say, let's figure this out. Let's work this out. That's a peacemaker. And there's a lot of steps to it. I know there's a lot of difficult to it, and each situation is a little different and is going to look a little different. But we're people that want that. So that's a quality that should be in us if we're truly following the Prince of Peace, that we want peace. We want to make that peace. We want to work it out, and we're willing to work toward it, to pursue it. Then he adds, and the holiness without which no one will see God. Oh, again, look at that and think, what in the world does that mean? Because generally our idea of holiness is what? I don't know. Pretty ugly, don't you think? If someone, what do you think of? If someone says, he is so holy. Your first thought is, then I don't want to be around him. Because we think holy certainly means no fun. You know, not only are they not going to be any fun, they're going to resent that I have any fun. You know, we have this idea of holiness that, all right, you know, maybe we'll grudgingly like it. Thank God, God gave us some holy people that locked themselves away and were all holy and wrote books. And maybe we'll read the books, but we don't want to be around those people. And we certainly don't want to be known as those people. And he says, pursue holiness without which no one will see God. Do you want to see God? Then you have to pursue holiness. So a couple of things have to change in our thinking. At least a couple of things. One is we need to remodel our idea of holiness. And that's really not that hard to do. It's not that hard to do. Why isn't it that hard to do? Because there is one figure in the scripture who is the holiest of them all. And that's Jesus. And here's an amazing thing. And we need to read the Gospels again and again and again. Because one of the things you'll find is that folks wanted to be around Jesus. Wherever he went, he drew a crowd. He went to dinner parties and people were crowding to get in. He gave a speech and people were coming from all around. People wanted to be around Jesus. So he was holy, and yet people liked him and wanted to be around him. So somehow that idea that holiness is off-putting, that it's alienating, that it's exclusive, is misguided. If Jesus is our model of holiness, then we realize that that's wrong. And then we just had this roll call of people of faith, and we see that, man, they were all messed up people. You know, we talked about that. We worked through that list for a few weeks, you know, there in Hebrews chapter 11, the roll call of faith. And, you know, you go through that, and you know, we were seeing over and over again, those who were here, if you weren't, you can go back and read that list. But the one thought that keeps forcing itself into the front of our minds when we read that list is, Lord, couldn't have you come up with a better list? Couldn't you have found some better people? And Lord, some of the people, and they were scoundrels and rogues and did all sorts of things that we don't want to put those people up front. You know, just we couldn't he find better? And God said, no, I love those people. Those are people of faith. Those are people I used. They were broken and damaged people that had faith, and God recognizes that faith, commends that faith, commends it to us. So the two things about holiness that we need, at least the two, that we need to adjust in our thinking is, first of all, that it's not ugly, it's beautiful. It's the characteristic of Jesus. And so the more we see Jesus, and the more we see Jesus reflected in our life, because God's changing us to be like him, that's what this discipline is all about, making us look more like Jesus, then we recognize that holiness is attractive and winsome and can be fun. You know, Jesus was at a bunch of parties, and he doesn't seem to have been the party pooper. You know, maybe the Pharisees thought so. He didn't always treat them as they would like to be treated. Didn't recognize the respect. But there were other people that were like, man, you know, Jesus, I want to be around that dude. So we adjust our thinking to holiness to look more like Jesus, and then we realize that it'll never be perfect in this life. That God is at work. He's working on us. And some of us, he's working faster than others. And some of the work seems to be turning out better than others. But he's working on all of us. But we're a project underway. And we're not there yet. And we won't be there until we're there. And when we're there, we'll be there. But until we're there, we're not going to be there. So there's always going to be those flaws and those weaknesses and that need for peacemakers and all of those things. And so we're called to seek peace, to be a peacemaker, and we're called to pursue holiness. Pursue peace with everyone. Pursue holiness. And so it's just a version of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called children of God. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. It's the same concept. A purity of heart, a pure desire to serve, to honor, to love, to follow after Christ. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You'll get the desire of your heart when your heart is pure. Now, it's always going to be, you know, like the commercials, 99 9/10 pure. You know, probably, chances are we're not even going to get there, anywhere near there. But there's always going to be some impurity. But if the desire is there, God sees it and loves it and rewards it and makes promises to it, you'll see God. You'll get there. So, I said there were three commandments, and there's two of them. So, be a peacemaker. Which, basically, I said it's a little rephrasing of the Sermon on the Mount, and it is that. It's also basically just a rephrasing of the two great commandments. Right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So that's the peacemaker part. This is the holiness part, the purity of heart part. The first great commandment, second great commandment. Puts them in the wrong order. We don't know why. Probably just so we say, oh, wait, this, you know, move those around. But then he gets back really to the peacemaking part because he basically says, and don't try this alone. Don't try this alone. You say, where does it say that? It says, and see to it that no one falls short of this. See to it. Look to it. There's, you know, I'm kind of fascinated by the English language. And it's a terrible language. You know, if you know anyone who has had to learn it, you know that. You know? Yeah, and you can look at things. You know, there are words that the only difference in spelling is the first letter. So you think, all right, they should rhyme, and they don't rhyme. You know, there's just all kinds of weird inconsistencies in English. But I think one of the fun weird things is that there are two words that sound like they should mean the same thing, and they don't. To oversee and to overlook. Now, why are those different? But they are. You know, to oversee and to overlook. It would be easier if the third command in this little section were, you know, overlook others. Say, got it. You know, I'm better at that than I ever should be. I'm able to overlook others. There's the preschool meeting in the church now, and down the hall from me, they're sometimes kind of noisy, and I love hearing that. But it doesn't distract me at all. And sometimes there'll be people meeting in the conference room right outside my office, and they'll always ask, are we disturbing you? I say, no, not at all. And there are other people out in the hall doing something, and they'll say, are we disturbing you? And the answer is, no, not at all. Because I am a master at totally ignoring people. I can overlook people just so easily. It's my spiritual gift. Except somehow it doesn't show up on any of those lists of spiritual gifts. I need to speak to management about that. But overseeing is, and that's what's being used here. The same word for bishop, you know, an overseer for officers. It's look closely at one another so that no one falls short of this. So, doesn't that make it harder? You know, Scripture always does that, doesn't it? You know, you say, all right, you know, look, be a peacemaker. All right, I don't want to. But I see I'm called to. Yes, I've got to do that. I've got to figure that one out. There's some places I know I need to work with others. I need to do that. I can see that. And pursue holiness. All right, well, if that's purity of heart, means if a desire to follow after Christ, to serve Christ, to honor Christ, yeah, I can do that. And make sure everybody else is doing it too. No, come on. Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. What do you mean, yeah? Yeah, and here it is again. Make sure. Look after. Oversee that no one is falling short of this. And he talks about what can happen, that they can slip back into the world. The draw of worldliness, the draw of stuff, the draw of sexual attractions can pull away. He uses the example of Esau. Why Esau? You know, it's another one of those sort of... I didn't mean to just scratch my head, but it is kind of one of those head scratchers. It's like the roll call of faith. Why those people? Because they had faith. Why Esau? Because he had basically become in Israel the poster boy for those with no faith. Right? Esau came up as your bad example. You know, you probably have one in your family. Don't be like, you know. So, well, for all of the Jews of the first, Esau was kind of the bad guy. You know, Esau, who rejected the black, who sold his thing for a meal, you know, who was involved in a number of untoward things. Esau just became that. And so it's not surprising that his name comes up here. Don't let any root of bitterness, that's from the Old Testament also, and those who follow idols. And then he uses Esau as a particular example of basically an idol worshiper. He worshipped Esau, or he worshipped sex, he worshipped food, he worshipped worldly things rather than pursuing the things of God. And so moves further and further from God, but he still wants the good stuff, right? Wants to be blessed, which is what the sought it with tears is looking back on. It sounds like he really, really wanted to repent and just couldn't. And he was seeking repentance with tears, basically, right? Oh, Lord, I want to repent. That is it. But it's not. He sought the blessing with tears. He wanted the good stuff. He just didn't want the God that came with it. He didn't want the God that brought it. God who was the source of it. And the writer's saying that can happen. You can watch people slip back into the world. Someone at Presbytery yesterday was talking about some friends of theirs who have just recently just walked away from the faith. And how heartbreaking it is to see people who gave every evidence of faithfulness and were involved in the work of the church and then reach a point where they just walk away. Well, that doesn't happen suddenly. There's a slipping away. There's the draw of the world. There's the allure. There's signs. And it says you're to be looking out for one another, watching for that, because it can spread and it will spread, so make sure it doesn't happen. But also for the love of other people. For the love of other people. Watch out for one another. Encourage one another. You see someone slipping away, you know, that's part of the peacemaking. You say, hey, you know, I don't know what's going on with you, but I want to. And I want to know how I can help. You know, to get back where they should be. So we're called not just to make peace and not just to pursue holiness, but to watch after one another. And so it's a picture of what God is at work on, what this discipline is all about. He's trying to form us into the kind of people who want to make peace with other people, who want to follow closely after Christ, and who want to hold hands and walk one another home. That's basically what it's saying. Don't come home alone. Bring these others with you. They're important too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, even as it challenges us. Lord, it's one thing to think about working out our Christian life, but we don't want to be responsible in any way for others. But yet we see that you call us to that. To go and make things right where there's been conflict. to seek to follow after Christ when we'd rather follow after the world, and to watch out that others aren't doing exactly that. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, we need help if we're going to even begin to do these beautiful things that you call us to. We know they're good. We know they're right. We know you want that which is good for us. Help us to want it too, and to seek after it relentlessly for Jesus' sake and by his power. And we ask in his name, amen.